John chapter number 10. Praise the Lord for his mercy. Amen, amen. John chapter number 10, verse number 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you, and I thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, God, for this passage of Scripture, as the Lord gives us some great instructions here. I pray that, God, you just please give us what we need. I pray the Holy Spirit would encourage those who are hurting today. Lord, heal those who have wounds and scars, and God, that you would rebuke those who may be, Lord, dealing with sin. Lord, edify all of us that we may grow. Father, whatever our spiritual need is, I pray that it would be met through the Word of God. I pray you'd hide me. I pray you'd lift up your Son today. Lord, I pray if anyone here today is not saved, God, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that, Lord, everything else would be set aside, and Lord, they might listen. Lord, help us as believers today to grow according to the Word, and we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. A few years ago, a guide in Israel was taking a group around Israel, pointing out different biblical locations and things. On one point of the drive, they went through a stretch of land that was just grass and where shepherds would have their sheep. And there were sheep out in the fields and stuff. So the guide told the busload of tourists about shepherding and the sheep there in Israel. He went on and he shared with them how that, just as the Lord talked about here, how that the shepherd would call his sheep, and he would speak their name. He didn't have to yell, didn't have to scream, but would gently just speak their name, and the sheep would come running. They would run to him. The shepherd would walk in front of them, and all the sheep would willingly follow them. He knew all the sheep by name and would talk to the sheep, and when he mentioned their name, they'd run up to him, and they just loved being around their shepherd. And there obviously was a relationship there between the shepherd and his sheep. And he just went on to tell them how that, just like Jesus talked about, the shepherds would feed them and gently care for them, and would always take care of a sheep, and that a true shepherd would never drive his sheep and yell and forcefully whip them as you do cattle and things, but just gently speak and they would follow. And it was at that point that he looked around the bus and no one was looking at the tour guide. And he looked out the window at what all they were looking at and what he saw he had never seen before. I'm waiting until the end of the sermon to tell you what it is. So now you have to pay attention, right? What was it they were all looking at? In this passage of Scripture right here, Jesus was speaking. And he was speaking about false prophets in the context. He was talking about the fact that with Israel, there had been many people who had come and led them astray. And that many people said that they were prophets or said that they were preachers or even Christ. And that they were only destroying the people of God. They were thieves and robbers. There are many false prophets in today's world too. There are many people who will say that they are called of God, but if they're not preaching the truth from God's word, they're not doing what a called of God person should do. There are many people who like to have the title of pastor, but if they're not taking care of their sheep, they're not doing what God called them to do. And in this passage of Scripture, if someone is truly an under-shepherd of God, then they will be God-called. And that's what he's talking about in verse 1 and 2 when he says, he that entereth in not by the door. If God doesn't call, and again, I would say this, we pray for laborers every Sunday night. And I pray that God calls more young men to be pastors and missionaries. But if God doesn't call you, then don't do it. You be faithful in your church and serve the Lord. But if God calls you, then you need to do that. Here, Jesus is speaking that there are people that have tried to become an under-shepherd, but not by going through the door. They climb up, they find some other way, and they're thieves and robbers, because ultimately, that's all they want to do is take from the people. Steal from the people. Condemn the people. A true shepherd, if someone is a true shepherd for his sheep. And again, it's talked about all, a pastor and a church are referred to many times as an under-shepherd, a shepherd, and his flock. One of the responsibilities of a pastor is to feed the flock, taking the oversight thereof, to watch over the flock, to nurture the flock, to protect the flock. And a true shepherd, the sheep will hear his voice. That's what Jesus is saying. A true shepherd, the sheep will follow. A true shepherd, the sheep will love the shepherd and trust the shepherd, and they'll want to follow that shepherd. And Jesus is giving these illustrations because all these people had abused Israel and all the people of Israel, and they weren't true shepherds. A true shepherd, in verse number 4, will go before his sheep. He will study, prepare, observe, defend, nourish, and do his best to avoid dangers. He goes before, because if there's a wolf on the other side of that hill, he wants to meet it before the sheep do. He goes first, because if there's a cliff on the other side of that mountain, he's going to steer them away from that and protect them. That's what the shepherd does. And as he teaches this lesson, he realizes that a lot of the people that he's speaking it to, they're just not getting it. So he explains it and explains some things in detail and adds some teaching to it. Look down at verse number 7, and we'll jump right into this. It says there, then said Jesus unto them again. As you notice in verse number 6, after Jesus spake this parable, they understood not. So in verse 7, he spake unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I just want you to consider a couple things today about the Lord and being our great shepherd. That number one, he is the door. He is the door. Now, in context of what he's talking about here with these false teachers, if someone, as I've already preached, just feels like, you know, they want to pastor, well, that's an awesome thing. They want to be a missionary. They want whatever it is in the field of ministry, understand that needs to be God's calling. And God will call and praise the Lord for it. But also, as the Lord expands his teaching, obviously it's very clear that he is the door to the sheep. Not just, again, he watches over the sheep. And they go through him. If they're going to be collected or gathered in one spot, they're going to pass by him. He's already cleared the way. He's prepared the way. He's made sure it's where it's for them. And then he welcomes them to where he wants them to be. The Lord is the door. Simply stated very clearly, when it comes to heaven, he's the door. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said these words. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other path to heaven. You say you're preaching to our church this morning. Come on, we all know this. I know, but I also know this, that I sat in church for 14 years before I got saved. Jesus said that he is the door. Back in verse number 1, it says there, he that entereth in not by the door, but climbeth up some other way. Listen, you try to get to heaven some other way, it doesn't work. You try to proclaim yourself as being called when God didn't call you, it doesn't work. Some people try, and I thought about when it says there, I think it just found it interesting, it climbed up some other way. I sat there and I thought about that in the context of people and going to heaven. There's a lot of people that try to climb their way to heaven or work their way to heaven. Climbing's not easy. Y'all seen those, you know, those rock climb events they have? Me and my wife got that for Koi 1 year for Christmas, all right? It interests me none. Rock climbing? Nope. You know, you see why? That is not fun to me. I had fun yesterday. I went fishing with Noah and Malachi and Micah and Eli and Caleb. That was fun. Climbing a 30-foot wall on little bitty ledges is not fun. That interests me zero. And one of the reasons, because normally when I go fishing, it's extremely relaxing. Not that yesterday was. But normally that's relaxing. But climbing a wall, no thanks. You know, hey, let's go have a good time. Let's go climb a giant cliff. No, right? Seen those pictures of people hanging off the edges, like all the way. Like, why would you do that? But climbing's difficult. And for those that do it, awesome. If that's your thing, it's because you're more buff than I am. All right, great, all right? You know, go for it. But the fact is this, it's hard. It's difficult. It's a something that you have to work at and work at and work at. I'm glad that my salvation is not dependent upon how strong I am. Amen. It's not dependent on how enduring I am. My salvation is all about who God is and what He has done. But there's so many people who's trying to climb their way to heaven. They try to work their way to heaven. And the scriptures very clearly say in the book of Titus, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. If you're here today and quit playing a game if you are, if you're here today and you're trying in some human rationing in your own mind, trying to earn your own way to heaven by being faithful to church, by doing, being nice to people, giving in the offering plate. I'm trying. Then stop today and run to God and accept what He's already done for you. Some people find even faith and church to be very difficult if they're not saved. People that are not saved, this is a bother. Going to church, ugh. Because they see it as only a means of earning God's favor. God loved you before you got saved. God loves you now that you're saved. God will always love you no matter what you do after salvation. But some people only see and they're trying, they're climbing, they're working, and then they slip and they fall and they think, I got to start over. I've got family that's messed up in that. They're trying to earn their way to heaven. They think that you commit certain sins and enough sins, you'll have to get saved again. It's not taught in the Bible. The Bible says that when we believe, we have everlasting life. Not we will get it. When He says that those who have trusted in His Son shall not perish. If there is an opportunity that you could accept His Son and then perish, then Jesus lied in that verse. But the Lord doesn't lie. Amen? So when we believe on the Son and we have everlasting life, that means we have it. There's so many people who try, and I've asked family. I heard my dad have conversations with family members, and I've used this in speaking to others that believe they can earn their way to heaven. What's the line? You say, it's no big deal, we all know this. I know, but we're going out on Wednesday nights. And if you ask people if they know they're going to heaven, the answer you're going to get is, I hope so, or I'm trying. This world's been deceived. And a lot of people think they're okay when they've not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can answer that question. When did you commit too many sins? What's interesting is hardly anyone that believes that ever crosses that line. That's always interesting, right? You know, it's like Calvinists. People that believe that you're predestined to go to heaven, all their family members are always predestined. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. All those who believe in a work salvation, they've never committed enough sins to lose their salvation. I'm thankful my salvation is not dependent upon me. It's not dependent on who I am, what I do, how much I give, or where I go. Sitting in this church will not get you to heaven as much as sitting in your garage will make you a car. You can sleep in a doghouse, but you're not a dog. You can sit in a church pew, but that doesn't make you a believer. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because listen to me, He is the door. He's the only way. Some people climb. I thought too, it says there that they're a thief, a robber. Some people think they can try to get to heaven through chicanery or trickery, deception. Trying to sneak in the back door. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Well, may take a different road, but we're all heading to the same place. I've heard that many times. The fact is this, it's not true. All roads lead to Rome. That might have been true, but there's only one way to heaven. The only way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people think, you say, what do you mean trickery? Some people, you know, and they may not say these words, but they believe it. They think they're going to pull the wool over God's eyes. So no one would ever say that. Didn't say they say it, but they live that way. They don't come to the Lord in repentance and faith. They try to be a decent person. They try to hide all the bad stuff they do, thinking that God didn't notice. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees everything. No one will ever trick God. God has never said these words. I didn't know that. Isn't that awesome? God has never said, oops. God has never said, you know, I can't believe I didn't see that coming. He's in charge. But some people, for some reason, think that they're going to be the exception. There are no exceptions. The only way to heaven is through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is this, that we believe that He is who He said He is. He is the Son of God. He is my Savior. He died for my sins. He's my Redeemer. He paid for my sins. He is the Christ. He is the promised one. He is the only way to heaven. And I have to see myself as the sinner that I am and turn my faith in Him and say, God, You are the only way. And I choose to receive You. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. When I believed on Jesus and who He says He is, God did a power work in my life, the miracle of miracles, and this sinful person became covered in the righteousness of God's Son. Wow. You see, but I think I'll go to heaven. No. There's only one way. And sadly, pride keeps a lot of people sitting in their seat year after year after year when they know that they're a sinner, and even in messages like this, they know they're lost, but they don't want to respond to the Word of God. They think, well, I'll still be okay. I'm doing this, and you're trying to climb your way to heaven, or God will take an exception with me, and He doesn't know all the things, or whatever it is, and try trickery. Some people try, again, a robber, try to cheat their way to heaven. They just lie. They think if they say it, they look around and just tell people they're okay. I had people on visitation this past week. We're good. We're good. We went down last year on opening day and passed out tracts to the Cincinnati Reds. Thousands of people walked by. So many saw what we were doing and said, no thanks, I'm good. We're not. Without the Lord, we're doomed. He is the only way. Verse number 9 in our text, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. That's it. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. If you're counting on any other means, stop today, please. Stop today and come to the Lord and accept Him as your Savior. But the Lord said, I am the door. Secondly, in verse number 9, I want you to see, the Lord said, I am our delight. It says there, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Pasture. The sheep shall go out to pasture. What do they do out in the pasture? They graze. They eat. They go out there. They get their nourishment. It's where life is. They go by the water. They get the drink of water. It's where life is. In the pasture, the shepherd's already gone ahead. It's safe there. The dangers have been removed. This is a safe place for them to be happy, to grow. We all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my what? Shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? He meets my needs. He's taken care of me. He maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. There's plenty there for me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my... He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He takes care of me. My shepherd gives me life. I wrote down a few things here, what I find. And in this pasture, I find I can be settled there. A lot of times a shepherd has to lead a sheep and we go through times. And that's what David would go on to talk about in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's times we go through things and we're having just to follow the shepherd. Keep our eyes on him because it's hard. It's scary. There's trials. There's cliffs. There's enemies. But I just got to stay focused on the shepherd. But then he brings me to a place where there's pasture. And I can go in and out and I can run to and fro. And I can go and I'm not wandering through dark valleys and things. I'm settled. I'm there. I'm safe. Aren't you thankful that when you trusted in the Lord and you went through Him as the door, He gives us life. I'm safe. I'm settled. I'm satisfied. Isn't that awesome? He gives me everything I need, everything I want. Praise God. He's a good God. Amen. I wrote down the word suffrage when it says I go in and out. You know, as silly as this is, right? The sheep's able to go where it wants to. If it wants to go over there, it goes over there. If it wants to go over there, it goes there. In the pasture. The Lord gives liberty. Freedom. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, I'm no longer under the law of sin. Amen. I've been set free to have life. God has given me liberty. I can live now free from the law of sin. I can live now the life that God wants me to live, which is what? Just like the sheep. I can go here. I can go there. I find everything I need where God has me. When I'm in the center of God's will, I'm settled. I'm satisfied. I'm safe. I have the suffrage and freedom. And listen to me, I'm happy. I got a smile on my face, which is what 10, he goes on and says, the thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have what? Life. God gives you real life. I've had a lot of people sit and, you know, and I taught the teens, I had a lot of teenagers sit there with their arms folded and didn't want to be there. Parents were making them be there and they'd stare at me. We'd play a game. They'd be like, I don't want to play. You know, we're going to have this activity. I'm not coming. They're just miserable. That's really sad. And the only joy they ever find is when they're feeding their flesh, surround themselves by people who say, oh, it's okay, we can still have fun until the going gets rough, and all those people always disappear. And eventually your flesh is not satisfied. You have one or two choices: to go indulge your flesh in a worse thing or to get right with God. And I've preached the funeral services of teenagers that sit in my teen class who kept going to the worst thing, and that path leads to destruction. Because eventually the jokes aren't good enough, and eventually the sips aren't good enough, and eventually the one-night highs are not good enough. Eventually those sins destroy people's lives. Because that's what thieves and robbers do. They steal your precious years away from you, and they will destroy your life. Yeah, but they said that's what the whole thing's about. They're lying. I'm happy. I was happy yesterday. I'm happy today. I'll be happy tomorrow, as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do. I got a great family. Got a great church. I went fishing. Play games. I get to help people. I'm happy. I've been to Florida. I have been to Orlando, Florida, 27 times. Beat that. It's always with a senior trip going down there. Not everything's fun, but, right? I've been to England. I've been to Hungary. I've been to Israel. I've been to Greece. I've been to Egypt. I've rode camels in Egypt up to a pyramid. Cool. So what are you saying all this for? God knows how to give you a good life. It's amazing. You say, yeah, but you had money. You know how much it cost me to go overseas? When I went over to Greece and Rome and the country of Jordan and Israel and Egypt, it was free. Isn't that awesome? I like told my parents, I would love to go on that trip. I was so jealous of them. And then some of you will know this guy. I lived in Dayton. I wasn't this familiar, but you will know him. Cash Amburgy. How many of you knew Cash Amburgy? Raise your hand. Yeah, all right. You notice it's a different generation. But yeah, all right. Save cash with cash, right? There he is. They all know Cash, yeah. He took a trip over there, and he told my parents, he said, hey, if you get 7 people to go with you, I'll give you a free trip. My dad announced it. People were just like, oh, yeah, we're going. I got to go for free. Isn't that awesome? See, bragging on Jesus. I'm just trying to tell you this. God gives you life. And you know what I don't have to do? I don't have to keep looking behind me to see if I got caught. I don't have to worry that my parents are going to find out. I don't have to worry that the police might run my plates. Isn't that awesome? I'm just enjoying life. How about you? How about you? He said, I have come that they might have life. Oh, here's the best part. Not just life. Right? And that they might have it more abundantly. You know what that means? That means there's a lot of people that thinks they're having a good time. I passed a guy today. He had stopped at the Dollar General because something went wrong with his giant boat. Beautiful boat. I don't know where he's going. Probably Caesar's Creek with that big boat. He had, his wife was following him in a car, and their strap came loose or something, and they're going to go out today and probably have a decent time. Probably. But I'm just telling you, based it not on me, upon this verse, I've got a better life than he does. So you're prideful. No, that's what he said. That God promised that when we follow him, we will have life and life more abundantly. Doesn't mean you'll be rich, but you'll have everything you need. Doesn't mean you won't have hard times, but you'll have the joy and the leadership to get through every valley you go through. That you'll have a great life. I'm just going to say it plainly. A great life. If you're saved and in the center of God's will, you got a good life. You're happy. Joyful. You say, well, I'm just not happy. Then something's not right. Because God said, you follow me. Life more abundantly. You'll be happy. Smile on your face. You know, praise the Lord. You know, you have the joy of the Lord in your life. I'll go on. He said, I'm the door. I am the light. And the third thing is all, it's all because of this. Listen to me. He is our deliverer. The next verse, in verse number 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and that he is. Amen. But the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know why I've got the great life that I have and the blessed life that I have? It's because Christ did it all. You know why I know I'm going to heaven? Because Christ paid it all. My salvation is because Jesus paid for it. Just as a good shepherd will give his life, as David, he was willing to give his life when a bear attacked, when a lion attacked. He would protect the sheep. Sin threatened my soul. Like some vicious lion or bear, it would have slain me. But Jesus stepped in. And he paid for my sins so that I could be set free. And those who ignore what Christ has done for them, and everyone in this auditorium knows what Christ has done for you. I've already shared it. He went to the cross. He died for you. You say, well, I'm not going to accept that. That's about as smart as some sheep sitting there watching their shepherd get slain by a lion or by a bear and then running to the bear. That's what you're doing. Praise God, Jesus didn't just die, but he arose. He had to die to pay for the penalty of our sin, because the wages of sin is death. But he had to raise himself from the grave, because death could not have the victory. He showed that he paid for our sins and conquered death. The fact that he rose again says it's completely, completely victory is his and mine if you will receive the gift. See, how do I know you need to be saved? Well, if you'll stop today and listen, you'll hear his voice. Because the shepherd always calls his sheep. I remember when God really began to prick my heart to be saved. And I sat there in my room one night knowing you need to be lost, and I knew that voice. I knew the next day as I was knew I needed to get saved, it was because of the voice. If you've been saved today, you know the conviction and the call of God that came in your life. You must be born again. Go forward. Who cares what people think? Get saved today. Receive Christ. Because that's what a shepherd does. He clears the way. And then he calls your name. I hope you've responded to that. The bus driver. Remember him? What's somebody looking at? He looked out the window and saw something he'd never seen before. He saw sheep running and this shepherd chasing them, yelling and screaming at them and throwing rocks at the sheep. He hopped out of the bus, grabbed that guy, True story. They said, "You just ruined everything I just said. What are you doing?" So this is not the way shepherds act. He said, "I'm not the shepherd. I'm the butcher." The devil wants to lie and convince you that the Lord is some evil taskmaster who wants to destroy your life. That's not the way God works. He's cleared the way and he's called your voice. He's called your name. I hope you'll choose to come to him.